I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valleys fair, man. I've breathed the mountain air, man. Travel like I have my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Bellevue, Rockview, Waterloo, Lackawanna, Fairview, Bellevue, Sea Breeze, Susquehanna, Lewisburg, Stroudsburg, Healdsburg, Lewis, Sonia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Williamsburg, Bronson, Nighttop, Little Rock, Flat Rock, Sonia, Mary,
something is missed the transmission. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I'm here. I'm joined by Aaron User Page, who's running for state representative in the, it's the 84th district?
83rd.
83rd district, which encompasses primarily Williamsport, correct? But also some additional towns, right?
Some additional boroughs and townships. Let me just say, first of all, Taylor, I really appreciate you having me on, and just thank you for the opportunity to reach a mass number of people through the medium of podcasting.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure to have you on here as well, and this has sort of been a long time coming. We've probably talked for hours at this point. I'm happy to do anything that I can to support your candidacy, because I think I was reflecting on our last conversation, and I think that if voters want somebody that like has an eye towards like a moral vision, that to me seems to be like you would be the choice. And that just goes from your background and what your passion is, you know, which is connecting people and seeking peace and the truth. I'm happy to host you.
I think you surmised that quite well, you know. I do seek truth, and I believe in equality and equity, and I believe that community should be an extension of your family. You were calling out the different areas that I will represent, and they are as follows. It would be Armstrong Township, Clinton Township, Du Bois, Lorsock, Montgomery, Old Lycoming Township, South Williamsport Borough, Susquehanna, Williamsport, the city, and Woodward will be all of the areas that will be under my umbrella as the 83rd, the representative for the 83rd district.
Yeah, and I guess for people that are unfamiliar with who you are, do you want to just start off by saying, you know, a little bit about your background and, you know, where you're from and what you've done? I mean, I know you've been in, like, done a number of things professionally. Do you want to just tell folks a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I grew up in Florida in a very small town. I believe maybe at the time that I was there, it might have been 7,000 to maybe 9,000 people there. A lot of immigrants. It's an immigrant town, a lot of rural area, farmland. In fact, they manufacture sugar cane, and our biggest production of sugar is from, and corn and beans and cabbage. I mean, just the healthy food that we shipped out all over the country to, and just some happy people, very close-knit community. And I see this area as the same. I grew up as a pastor's daughter. I'm a PK.
A PK, yeah.
Yep. My mother was initially a stay-at-home mom, and I really enjoyed the fact that I was able to be with both my parents, as my father was, you know, an entrepreneur. Being a pastor, you know, you have to have something else to do on the side. So he had a grocery store, he had real estate, he had a lot of just home-based businesses at one time. Even as a pastor, he sold cosmetics.
Wow.
And so I have that entrepreneur spirit in me. My sister does, as well as my daughter. And we had just that kind of family, where we took in people who were homeless and those who needed, you know, with his grocery store, if you needed food, all you had to do is come in and say, you know, Reverend Wright, I don't have the money. But he would give you the food anyway. So we were always about community. If anybody had a trouble in the community, they would always come to either my mom or my dad. So I was very, very familiar with that. And coming to Williamsport was just an extension of who I am. I as far as getting involved with the community, it took some time because I was busy raising my family as predominantly a single mom and had to work number of hours and maybe a couple of jobs and just trying to balance that with raising my children. Didn't have a whole lot of time to get involved with the community outside of my place
but,
of worship.
But you ended up getting very involved in your community, and I know that you the community connection is something that you've – is that right? The community connection is something that you've
– Recently, yes. That is part of who I am. When we start seeing a lot of – a disconnect throughout the country and division throughout the country with the mass killings and, you know, killing of African-American men and women. I think the one thing that broke the camel's back with me was the Sandra Bland incident where I'm like, something has to be done. The community has to come together on these issues. And then the opioid epidemic, you know, even in my own family, being afraid that my girls will get involved with that drug scene, that we needed to do something where we can bring the community together and practice some common sense, practical prevention measures, you know, getting them involved in the NAACP and those kind of things.
It's amazing the power that community can have. You know, it sounds a little hokey sometimes, but, you know, strong community connections can really mean the difference, I think.
Oh, when I grew up, the whole community raised you. You couldn't get away with anything because they knew you, they knew your parents, and they had permission to correct you. You know, and sometimes that correction came with some corporal punishment. So,
oh, gosh.
it was great. You know, I didn't die. My parents didn't, you know, beat up the person who gave me a little slap on the behind to put me in the right direction. No, it wasn't like that at all. I mean, we respected each other, and the community truly wanted to see every child in that community succeed and be productive members of the society, and I grew up under that, so I'm very fortunate. A lot of kids don't understand that now.
Yeah, I really like that idea that you know, we as a community, we just want to see each other succeed. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about Williamsport, and I know it's a place that is like very near and dear to your heart, but sometimes the things that we love the most, like, you know, we can see the faults in them as well. And I'm wondering, you know, where are areas that Williamsport could grow as a community?
They can grow in the area of inclusivity. We are a diverse group of people, but we don't have the platform to come together as a community and distinct in our own cultures. When I first moved here over 20 years ago, there was an event in the park, and it reminded me of some of the things that they did back home, because we had a lot of people from the Caribbean and those kind of things. So all of that culture came into my neighborhood. But here in Williamsport, they had that one time that I can remember here in the community. And I think it's a shame that they don't continue that. I mean, they don't set aside funds that we are able to continue that and have the different foods from the different cultures come out and experience that and talk to those people who don't look like us or talk like us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the community would benefit from something like that.
Yeah. Do you think that racism is an issue in Williamsport?
Yes, I do. I think it's very subtle. and sometimes blatant with people coming to me saying that they feel like they're being racial profiled, especially while they're driving or what have you, or being watched constantly in the, maybe a different policing style in the African American community versus any other community. And I think the spotlight is always on what are the Africans doing? What are the African Americans doing? And it being such a prominent subject on the minds, And that's just my point of view. Even in professional jobs and in the professional arena, I think there's some biases there. Maybe they are not aware of that and how it come across because we don't know each other like that.
Yeah.
But just sometimes say my best friends are black or I have black people in my family. Sometimes it's knowing how to speak to someone without offending them, and sometimes they just don't. I feel that they don't care. There's not enough sensitivity to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would imagine that it would be extremely hard being black in central Pennsylvania. It's not something that I can ever know as, a white person, but it's something that I can listen and I've heard some things that really make your skin crawl. And so, yeah.
In 2018, we've made tremendous progress, but I think under the cloud that we're under now politically, the idea of white privilege and white supremacy is being preached from the highest level.
Yeah.
And even from the pulpit sometimes in our churches, there is I want to say I don't even know if the individual is conscious of it, that there's the propaganda being perpetuated that there should be a division.
Yeah.
But I love, God loves everybody. And as far as my faith is concerned, it's all about inclusivity. It's not about an individual race or...
Well, that brings up a question. What is the path towards racial justice here? What do we do in central Pennsylvania to work towards racial justice?
I think the pathway to bring about equity and humanity is for us to accept the past, what happened. There was slavery in this country, and the people haven't had retribution for that. And I'm not sure how the establishment, when I say the establishment, the people who are in control will give up some of that control. They have to be in control and keep this person down and keep that person down. But I think we need to educate ourselves on how we are more alike than we are different.
Yeah.
And the difference only is like a little millimeter, whatever the smallest denomination of measurement is, and that's the level and the thickness of our skin.
Mm. Yeah. So do you think that comes about with, community conversations or reparations, like you said? I guess it's actually on many fronts that this happens, but yeah.
I think it starts there. I think it starts with conversations, but I think it is more or less people actually listening and hearing you, and then position themselves to take action. Because if you are going to be in conversations where they are belittling or undermining another human being and dehumanizing them, then you are part of the problem.
Yeah.
And not say anything. And not stand up. You're part of the problem.
Yeah.
So you can't tell those off-color jokes and laugh at them and then go back and say, oh, that was wrong. You have to say that's wrong at the time it's being done. I remember John McCain during the Obama campaign, the race between Obama and John McCain, where the woman was trying to say that he was an Arab and he was this and he was that, and he was an American citizen. And John McCain stopped her in her tracks right there.
Yeah.
And that was a pivotal moment for my, for me in my life, that even a Republican has the moral compass to defend a person who may not agree with them, you know, may have a different point of view than them, but they can also protect that person's humanity.
Yeah. I'm gonna switch gears a little bit and ask about like what exactly your priorities would be if you were elected into the state legislature. Like legislatively or community wise, you know, what are you, if folks cast a ballot for you, what are they casting a ballot for?
First and foremost, they're casting a ballot for me to protect our right to vote. There is, you know, so much gerrymandering and so much voter suppression that's going on. If we lose as a people, if we lose our right to participate in the political process, you know, then we can, it's a danger to everyone. This is a democracy that is for the people, by the people. So that would be the first thing that I would like to try to make ensure for this area that everyone has and maintain their right to participate in the political process. And then, of course, on the front of being able to have quality health care. Everyone, I think, as a right, as a citizen, you know, as we look at Medicaid and Medicare, that everyone should have a right to quality health care, and it should be free.
Yeah.
I think the government should supply that benefit as an American.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I'm really excited to see that Mark Friedenberg, our candidate for Congress, has come out in support of the Medicare for All program.
Yes. And Medicare for All. And I believe we would then see a healthier community. We would see children getting the best health care they can get when they can get it, when they need it, and pre-existing conditions will not hinder somebody from going to the doctor because they can't get insurance on that. You know, it just makes sense. I mean, our veterans, we already have that system in place through the Veterans Administration and healthcare. We can expand that. We are a country that we can expand that.
Yeah. You're a veteran yourself, right?
I am a veteran. And I do benefit from that system, and I think it could work if we are putting in preventive measures, you know, things that they can do, gyms and exercise and, you know, getting points. So however the system works of making sure maybe you don't smoke or whatever, you know, because now if you're a smoker and you're looking for private insurance, you're going to pay more money.
Yeah.
So if you cut down on the incidence of needing medical assistance and be proactive and being a healthier community and country, those who need the medical assistance can get that assistance with no cost, and it wouldn't be a burden to our taxpayers.
Yeah. I was listening to an interview with Mark Friedenberg, and he talked about, I think there's something like a 3% overhead on Medicare of administrative costs versus 30% for private insurance.
Right.
So, I mean, and most of that 30% is profit for executives and people in middle management and stuff like that, which is, it just, if we want a healthier society, Medicare for All makes sense.
It makes a whole lot of sense, and I hope people will vote for me for that reason, you know, to get health care for everyone, and not hold preconditions against you.
Yeah.
Pre-health conditions against you.
Yeah. Are there any other issues that are you're really passionate about and, you know, hope to fight for in Harrisburg?
I'm passionate about individuals earning a livable, respectable wage, you know, a wage that will give them pride to work. You know, $7.25 an hour is not enough to raise a family. You know, we have a lot of single parents, as I was, who are trying to raise, you know, their children on one salary, or and then needing to supplement that income with food stamps and, you know, panhandling, you know, asking people to buy, you know, groceries for them or help them get over until the next paycheck. And, you know, that could be a little bit taxing on your dignity and your confidence in who you are. I believe that we should have a livable wage for our families and then increase jobs in this area.
Yeah.
Bring back industry to Lycoming County. I understand that this was a manufacturing capital at one point, and a lot of our shops have closed down. A lot of our stores are closing down. So we need to make it welcoming to industry who would want to station their companies here.
Yeah, certainly. What's it been like on the campaign trail? How have you found that?
It has been fantastic. The opportunities that I've had to speak to groups of people have been wonderful. They've been very receptive. The newspaper has been very good to me as far as reporting the stories and everything. So it's been a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's been a lot of fun. I haven't had any, other than making a few phone calls and people are not, you know, happy with some of the Democrats, but I believe the Democrat platform will go further in this climate with rooting for health care and job creation and protecting the political process. I think that resonates with a lot of people, independents, Democrats, and Republicans.
Yeah. I know you're somebody that sort of likes to not be front and center, and you consider yourself more of like a behind-the-scenes person. Has that been difficult, being sort of an introvert and being somebody that's sort of expected to be front and center?
It has been challenging, but I reconciled with my family and I found that this is a calling. I mean, if it's for me to do it, I was asked to do it. And once I made up my mind that I was going to do it, I prepared myself for the opportunities that I would have to address a crowd of people and be out front, as you would say. But I tell you, the crew that has ran this campaign for me has actually taken the lead and has done a fabulous job here, you know, 2 days or 2 days before the election. I think all kudos and props go to them, all the volunteers that have knocked doors and all those who have made donations to make our financial situation feasible to get literature and things like that. I am so grateful to them all, and they have made, I'd say they made me look good.
Yeah. Well, that's
they made
great.
Me look good.
Yeah. Do you have a campaign highlight?
A campaign highlight?
Yeah, like the like a rose, you know, best memory you'll take away from it so far.
The best memory I will take away from it so far is walking. One day I was walking and knocking doors, and I mean, I was exhausted. I don't know how many miles I walked, but I walked a lot of miles, and I think it was pretty evident that I was at the end of my rope. And this gentleman came out of his home and welcomed me in and told me to sit down and relax a little bit and gave me a drink of water and just really just kind of let me take a break. And that was a highlight in my campaign moment. That's just one highlight in my campaign moment. Making a phone call and someone, you know, saying to me, thank you for running, thank you for putting yourself out there, and yes, I am going to vote straight Democratic ticket. Mm-hmm. That made it all worth the early morning and the late nights and the knocking on the multiple doors. It was and the numerous phone calls. Those kind of things really are highlights to me and made me feel that this is definitely worth it and what I should be doing.
Yeah. I don't wanna be too negative here, but do you have a low light too?
I don't wanna talk about low lights.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I think the highlights outweigh the low light, and you know, you're gonna have some negativity in everything, and you just take that with a grain of salt. You know, hopefully they will the light will come on for them and they will see it as we move forward to victory, that we see that our efforts to make things better is to make things better for everyone, not just Democratic, but just everyone in general will benefit from the change or the victories that we have during this midterm election cycle.
Yeah. Paul Wellstone, who is he's a former senator from Minnesota that died tragically in 2002, I think, but he had this saying that we all do better when we all do better, and I think that's just so true, and it reminds me of you describing the community that you grew up in, you know, where we all just wanted to see each other do well and succeed.
Right, and succeed. Yes. It takes a village.
Truly, truly. Well, so if folks have listened to this, it'll be broadcast on Sunday evening, and folks are really inspired. Can you give us some suggestions as to how they can get involved and what they can do?
At this point, with the election being 2 days away, I would hope that you would speak to your friends, your family, and your neighbors. Speak to me. Have a conversation with a Republican who is not happy with the state of affairs right now. And just listen to them and find the common ground where you agree. And invite them to go out to vote with you. Don't go to the voting polls alone. Take someone with you. I've heard campaigns say it just one more or take five people. I say, you know, take someone who hasn't voted in a while, you know, and maybe two midterms or three midterms ago, because most people vote in the presidential election, but they must realize that our local elections and our midterm elections are just important. It is just important to vote for our judges and our district attorneys and those kind of things.
Yeah,
so,
if not more important.
I'm sorry?
I said, if not more important.
It's not more important. You're right. You're right. And this midterm, and everybody's saying it, you know, you watch TV, this is going to be the most important election in your lifetime right now. This one right here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would reach out and encourage our millennials to go out. Our baby boomers to go out and our seniors to go out and vote your conscience. I mean, if you know deep down in your heart that things are just not right, vote for those who are going to attempt to make things right and make things equitable for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks can read a little bit more about your campaign on your website, right?
That's correct.
And
What is the www.page4pa83@.com. I was going to give you my email, but that's the website, page4pa83.com.
All right, cool.
That's the number four. That's the number four. Page number four, pa83.com.
And you have a Facebook page, too, and folks can reach out to you there. Ernesier, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you again, and I wish you the best of luck in this coming Tuesday, and I said there's just so much riding on our successes up and down the ballot, and I just want to thank you for sticking your neck out there and running, and I know it's not an easy thing, and I know it's been a long and hard process, so thank you so much, and Thanks for taking the time and doing this interview with me.
Oh, you are so welcome. I just want to thank my chair, Vernon Caruso, and my treasurer, Artis Mason, and Alice Duncan Hirsch. All these people, and Keiko, who did the coordinated campaign here, Bob Herzenberg, who is the chair of the Democratic Party here, all of these people have been pillars for me and all of my volunteers, so I just say thank you to all of them.
All right, wonderful.
Thank you, and to you as well, for bringing me on for this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And
I've been everywhere.